Good to see you all here this morning. I hope you're nice and warm in your seats. I remember last time we met, I was guilty of making us sweat it out during that Bible class. Thought I set it to 70 and I set it to 79. So hopefully you're warm, but not too warm this morning as we are trying to get through as Southerners this winter that is beginning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we'll start off with a verse there here in a moment. As we're coming upon this holiday, this national holiday in the next couple of weeks of Thanksgiving, we remember all the things that we have. We remember the benefits we have of living in this country as Americans. We remember the things that we've been given, the things that we are blessed with by individuals in our lives and ultimately by God. And it is something that the entire country, for the most part, participates in. And it's a time in which it seems that everyone is more cognizant of their blessings and they are more aware of their need to give thanks for these things. But as Christians, as people of God, we recognize in the scriptures that we are instructed to give thanks throughout our entire lives. Give thanks with our entire being. It is something that is composed of our lives. We recognize the blessings we have, both physical, but more importantly, spiritual, those blessings in Christ, the blessings which God has bestowed upon us, the continual cleansing and forgiveness we have from Christ's shed blood on that cross that we just remembered this morning in the Lord's Supper. That was a form of thanksgiving, as we'll talk about later. Thanksgiving is a call to remembrance of things that we have been given and then giving a thanks for them. But in all aspects of our lives, God not only expects thanksgiving, but He demands it. And I want to call upon our attention this morning the concept of giving thanks, how we give thanks, and then what will happen if we stop giving thanks. That it will destroy our lives. That it is the start of all unrighteousness and uncleanliness and ungodliness. And that without a giving of thanks, our lives are going to be destroyed inevitably. But God expects us to be thankful. And there are many ways in which we are to be thankful. Firstly, we are thankful in song. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter in verse 15, the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." When we sing, it is a form of praise. It is a form of giving thanks. Our songs are composed of things that we see in the Scriptures, and if they are not, we should not be singing them. Things of a spiritual matter, but even the things of a physical matter. We've seen the song, "Count Your Blessings." Name them one by one. Remember what God has done. And this draws our attention to those things which God has blessed us with. And with that, it gives us a perspective of humility and of a dependency upon God. And when we sing these songs, it calls to our attention those things. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter in verse 16, we are told to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This concept of singing is one of giving thanks. It is one that is composed of these things and these aspects in our lives. Another passage in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 19 gives us some more authority of this concept of singing and worship. It says, "Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." I think as we go through our worship service and our lives as Christians, we often give thanks, but it's a lot of times going through the motion. We say the words and we give the thanks, but we really don't have our hearts in it. And singing is not something that is acceptable to God by just going through the motions. It is making melody in our heart. It is plucking that heartstring. It's calling our attention to those things that we should be thankful for. And thankfulness is not just going through the motions, saying the words. It is an emotion and it is a recognition of these things. It is a sincere, heartfelt action of praise and worship to the Lord. Along with singing, we are to give thanks in prayer. As we've done this morning in the Lord's Supper, we have prayed and given thanks to God for sending His Son to this earth. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 6, Philippians 4 and verse 6, we see the positive nature of prayer and what it can do for us and the necessity in our lives that we have for it. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Oftentimes we grow anxious, and in Matthew the 6th chapter, Jesus speaks against that anxiety. Do not worry today about what you will wear, what you will eat, what you will drink, or what you will put on, but pray to God and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These things will be added to you. But along with that recognition of those things are going to be supplied to us, we are going to have our necessities. God is not going to forget us. If we are meeting Him in the middle, if we are drawing near to God, He will draw near to us. And that's not only with these spiritual blessings, but also with the physical ones. He will provide for our necessities. But along with that is a necessity of thanksgiving after the fact. We can't take these things for granted and forget where we got them from. We must always draw our attention to this. And one of the ways in which we give thanksgiving to God is via prayer. In Colossians, the fourth chapter, and in verse 2, Paul gives this admonition to the church at Colossae. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. This is something we need to be watchful for. As we call to remembrance, we have to think. We have to have our minds go in this process of a watchful nature in which we look out for the things that we've been blessed with. A lot of times we forget some things that we've been blessed with. We look at the big obvious things and we forget the little things and take those for granted and maybe take those as something that we have earned ourselves. But God tells us to be vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. We need to thank Him for all things, all the time. Everywhere and in everything, our lives are to be filled with thanksgiving. In Psalm the 116th chapter, in Psalm 116 rather, We notice the concept of thanksgiving throughout the Psalms. And this psalmist who's writing here recognizes that it goes past just this concept of giving thanks and literally saying thank you or singing thank you or praying thank you. But thanksgiving is seen even in our service to God. We are commanded and expected to do these things. And we do these things out of obedience and love for God. But one of the things and the aspects in this service to God that needs to be present in our everyday life is this concept of thanksgiving in our service. In Psalm 116 and verse 16, the psalmist says, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 1, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Here the psalmist offers up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is a service we perform toward God, a service we are commanded to do, expected to do, and it is something that is composed of our everyday life. We are commanded to serve God with thanksgiving, not with regret, not with remorse, not with a terrible attitude and heart toward these things, but with thanksgiving. It's not, God, I have to do this. You're making me do this. It's, God, thank you for allowing me to be able to do this. We aren't established with good works. We don't have good works manifest in our lives without the gift of Christ Jesus, without the blessings of our Father, without all of these things that we are to be thankful for. And we are so fortunate in this day and age, and so fortunate just with regard to our spiritual blessings in Christ. We need to always call those to remembrance and thank God in everything that we do. In Colossians, the third chapter, and in verse 17, after he makes note of this need to thank God in song, he tells us in verse 17 that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, everything we do should be done with thanksgiving and not with a sense of I deserve this, but with a sense of this is a gift given to me. This is not something that I can earn. This is certainly not something that I deserve, but it is a giving to me of God. And I need to thank Him for this and all that we do, whether we are in our good times or whether we are suffering persecution for Christ or suffering through the physical infirmities of this life that are inevitable due to the sin that came about in Genesis, the third chapter. We recognize in all things we have something to be thankful for. No matter how hard the times get, there are things to be thankful for. In 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, in verse 16, throughout our lives, we have these times where we get down in the dumps. But there is a time to be that way, and a time to mourn, and a time to laugh. But in all things, we can always be thankful and rejoicing. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God. It is not His will for us to take these things and enjoy these benefits of being in Christ and the blessings physically that He has given us and to take them for granted without any thanks at all. When we give a gift to someone and there's no thanks whatsoever, there's no recognition of the things that you have went through to give them that gift, perhaps the money you've paid or the trouble you went through to get that or the thought process it took, the creativity maybe, to bring that gift to their attention. And there's no thanksgiving there. And the giver of that gift all of a sudden doesn't feel any appreciation. And he feels as if that individual who has been given the gift has no recognition of the things that went into that. And when we cease to give thanksgiving to God, that's how He feels. He has given us everything. He has given us all these spiritual blessings. He loved us to the point of sending His only begotten Son who died a terrible death on that cross for our sins. We need to make sure we give Him thanks for those things. He deserves it. In James, the first chapter, James chapter 1, when we recognize God expects us to be thankful, it's because He deserves it. He has done things for us that we could never repay back to Him. James 1 and verse 17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That includes all of creation. There are individuals who will never receive the spiritual blessings in Christ because of their disobedience to God, but the grace of God has appeared to all men. This gift is here freely for us to take, and if we do not take it, it's our own fault. These physical blessings, every good gift, comes down from the Father of lights, and He has no shadow or variation of turning. Even those who are practicing sin in this world, they have blessings. Those blessings are not of their own accord. They're from God. And yet they continue in that sin because they are unthankful for these things. They either take the credit for these things they have, or they recognize God, as they did in Romans, the first chapter, as we'll look at later, and they recognize the blessings are from Him, yet they push Him out of their lives. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They choose rather to continue in sin without any thanksgiving than to give thanks to the one that deserves it the most. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, as we alluded to earlier, God gives us all these necessities. And in verse 31, it says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He knows we need them, and He will not hold them back from us if we continue to seek His righteousness. If we continue to try to be pleasing to Him and to try to present ourselves as those individuals who are living sacrifices for Him. And because of this, He deserves our thanksgiving. In Ephesians, the first chapter, we read of several spiritual blessings in Christ. And above all else, these things are something we should be thankful for. We should always keep in our mind these spiritual blessings because we are always in this state of need and dependency upon God. If it wasn't for His Word, we would not know how to live righteous lives. If it wasn't for His Son, we are still in sin and we cannot come before Him, even with thanksgiving. In verse 3 of Ephesians 1, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the Father. It's a form of giving thanks to Him. In the second chapter and in verse 8, Ephesians 2 and verse 8 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." With a gift, there always needs to be a thanksgiving. Without it, it's unbalanced. And our thanksgiving is not earning this gift. Our thanksgiving is showing our appreciation for this gift. It's showing our dependency upon this gift. It's showing that this gift is by grace, that I could not earn it, and so I need to be thankful. No one ever earning something is thankful to themselves. They've earned it. We have not earned this gift of God. It is exactly that, a gift. In Romans 6 chapter in verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And if we stop there, we have no hope. If Christ is not risen, we have no hope. But the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And with that gift, there is a required thanksgiving. And throughout our lives, after we've taken of these heavenly things and we have this redemption through Christ, in Romans the 8th chapter, we see a provision for us. A safeguard, if you will. A safe haven that Christ and God has provided for us. It would have been enough for Him to give His only Son and forgive us of all our sins and give us that second chance. Yet we still sin from time to time. We fall short. And yet He provides that safe haven. He is the rock of our refuge. And He allows us that forgiveness and continues to provide that forgiveness throughout our lives. In Romans the 8th chapter in verse 37, we get a sense of security. It says, "Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He has set that for us. He has made that possible for us. And it is only through Him that we have that security. In the 23rd Psalm, one that we all are aware of, in verse 4 of that 23rd Psalm, Psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." That's what God provides for us every day. And when we don't feel that security, it's not because He's shortened His hand. It's because our sin has separated us from Him. And that sin is often present because we were never thankful in the first place. And that's what the bulk of the lesson I want to be focused on. That thanksgiving is expected of us. It's required of us. God deserves thanksgiving, but thanksgiving has a tremendous effect on our lives. God doesn't need our thanks. He doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need our service, our praise. This is all that He deserves and expects of us. And a lot of these things He expects of us are for our benefit in part. And thanksgiving is one of these things. The nature of thanksgiving requires a call to remembrance. In the 103rd Psalm, the 103rd Psalm, beginning in verse 1, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles?" And he goes on and on about these things that God is and that God has done and that God has provided for us. And what he's doing is calling to remembrance these things. And I want to suggest to you that every time we give thanks, we call a remembrance to something. Whether we explicitly state that thing we're thankful for, or we just say thank you to an individual or thank you to God. We have to be thanking Him for something. So there's a call to remembrance these things, and it is necessary to do so. Throughout the Psalms, we see this concept of thanksgiving and a call to remembrance. In Psalm 92 and verse 1, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High." But he continues with this. He says, "Give thanks to Him to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." What is he thankful for? His loving kindness, His faithfulness. He calls to remembrance these things. In verse 4, "You, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. I am thankful for what you have done, your works, your loving kindness, your faithfulness. In the 95th Psalm, in the first seven verses, we see the same thing. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. And we notice this word for, because. Why are we thanking Him? What are we thanking Him for? For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. His hand are in the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is God. We are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. That is that security we're talking about. A call to remembrance of these things we have in Christ, in God. Going to the 100th Psalm in verse 4, He tells us to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. When we thank God, as we did this morning, in the remembrance of His Son's death in the Lord's Supper, we thank Him for His blood that He shed. We thank Him for the body that He entered for us so that He could get to heaven and minister unto us, so that we could have this hope of eternal salvation. We thank Him for things, and we call to remembrance. And we always need to remember what God has provided for us. I want us to look at the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and recognize their unthankful hearts and why that was so. It was because they didn't call to remembrance these things. They forgot what the Lord had done for them throughout this whole time. God is warning them about this forgetfulness of what He has provided for them. Talking about His provisions and their exodus from Egypt and the rock that provided water for them that God gave to them. The manna in which they ate through the wilderness, that bread from heaven. He tells us in verse 11 in Deuteronomy 8, tells the Israelites, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Again, we call to our attention that the service that we provide for God, the obedience to His gospel, the fulfillment of His commandments are a form of thanksgiving to Him. And if we do them with the absence of thanksgiving, if we do it with an evil heart, with a heart of regret or contempt, we aren't pleasing to God. It needs to be sincere. Jesus told the woman at Samaria that the time is coming where individuals will worship God in spirit and in truth. That truth there that is the Word of God, His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and the sincerity with that. He says, don't forget Him by not doing these things. Notice in verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, and brought water from you for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do good in the end. Then you will say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have given me this wealth, have gained me this wealth. You see the recognition of the destruction that is brought about by forgetting what God has done for us. The destruction that is brought about with an unthankful heart. Forgotten that God has given us these things. God has provided for us. And now we think that it's my power and my might and my hand that have gained these things. Anytime we are unthankful, this is what we are doing. We're taking the credit. We're leaving God out of the equation. And if we do this, our lives are going to be destroyed. There's not going to be much to be thankful for if we continue to be unthankful. Because we are going to be in a depraved state of sin and of pride and arrogance, when really it is God who has provided these things for us. In verse 18, this progresses. It progresses from a knowing God did this for us. We are in the moment. He is giving us this manna. He is giving us this water. And yet they're still murmuring and complaining. That leads to this unthankfulness and the pride in verse 17. And notice in verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. As Christians, we often lose sight, or we shouldn't, we lose sight sometimes about how much benefit we have received from God, how gracious he has been toward us, and how much we depend upon him and don't deserve anything that he gives us. And we look out into the world at those who are living in sin, who go throughout every single day of their lives without even a thought process about God and his existence and the fact that he's there and he's watching them and he expects their obedience and their faithfulness. And we look at them and we compare ourselves to them, and then we grow complacent. And we grow as someone who sees that they deserve what they get from God. Because I've been obedient. I grew up in the church and I deserve these things. And it's because of what I've done. But all of a sudden, the things that we should be thankful for, we start to serve. We don't have to worry about fashioning an idol in today's day and age, especially in this culture at least. We're not going to go and worship Buddha. We're not going to leave the church and go fashion ourselves some idol and start worshiping it. But what about the things that we need to be thankful for? What about the blessings we have, the good job that we can provide our families for? It's given from God, and if we are unthankful of this, and we forget that God has given us these things, we start to serve these things, and they become our idol. And you see the irony in that. We are to thank God for these things, but instead we leave God out of the equation and thank ourselves and serve the things we've been given. We see that in Romans, the first chapter, and I want to go over there the similarities between Deuteronomy 8 and what we've just read in Romans, the first chapter, are very strong. They're comparable in their nature. The Gentiles here forget God, and really this is a willful ignorance. It's not just something that they accidentally did. They willingly forgot God. They decided they did not want to recognize him. Beginning in verse 18 of Romans 1, it says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." This is something they willfully do. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." In other words, there's no question as to whether or not they know there is a God, that he exists and that he's provided for them. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Notice why. Why did they do this? Why are they forgetting this? Why are they having a willful ignorance? "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." They did not glorify God. Glorifying God and praising God as a form of thanksgiving, they were not thankful. They willfully forgot these things that were provided by God. The physical blessings that he has given them, just the general aspect of creation that we enjoy in this earth, in this day and age. They were unthankful. And I want us to see the progression with this. With the Israelites, they were unthankful, and they started to look at themselves as someone who has gained these things by their own merit. And then they decided to start serving gods, and then it leads to their inevitable destruction. Here in Romans, the first chapter, is very comparable. In verse 22, it says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." There's the idolatry. They were unthankful. They suppressed the truth and unrighteousness, and it led to idolatry. But notice, starting in verse 24 and going through the end of this chapter, it says, "Therefore, because they were unthankful, they suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. They started serving idols rather than the one that they should serve and be thankful toward. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The purpose of our body, the purpose of our lives is to glorify God. We see that in 1 Corinthians 6. It's not for sexual immorality. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which dwells within us, and we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit. They're God's. They're a tool given us to perform this worship and this praise and obedience to God. They used their bodies. They used their lives to uncleanness. God gave them up to this. We need to recognize our free will that we have given to us by God. And it is a good thing. It is the only way that it is possible for these things to work, the scheme of redemption to work, because God gives us free will. And if we refuse Him, He's going to let it go. He's always going to be there for us to turn back to Him. But He gave them up to this uncleanness, to do what they wished, to do all of these immoral things, to serve themselves in shameful and unnatural ways. I want us to show you how this progresses in verse 26. Verse 24 is just uncleanness and things that they shouldn't have been doing. And the same in verse 26, but notice the severity that grows. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Uncleanness was shameful, as if it was enough uncleanness, but now it's vile passions. Their obedience to sinful lust has grown. For even the women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. It led to something completely against nature. Homosexuality. Women using women, men using men with what was against nature. These passions are shameful and dishonorable for anyone to engage in, especially those who know God, who know His nature, who know His commandments. And yet, God gave them up to these things because they were unthankful. They didn't want anything to do with God. In verse 28, it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. That word debased there, and that concept of a debased mind, literally means not standing the test, that is, failing. There was a test there. The test between good and evil and obedience and disobedience, and they failed the test willingly. They knew what God had done. They knew what God expected. They knew what God provided. They knew His nature. It is without excuse. And that test was there. Are you going to recognize that and put your life to work with regard to those things and the knowledge of God and His expectations? Are you going to willfully refuse it? Forget about God, be unthankful, and continue in your sinful ways. They had a debased mind, and God gave them up to that. If you want to go and do these things which are unfitting, these things which inevitably lead to death, because you aren't thankful for what I have given you, go ahead. It's your own life. And the free will is for us to choose. And this was found its genesis in a lack of thankfulness. They did not recognize God. They did not glorify Him. They were unthankful. He lists all these sins out. This all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Notice here, who knowing the righteous judgment of God. That means they know what they're doing is wrong, and they know that God's going to punish them for doing this. They know His holy nature. They know His goodness, His purity, His loving kindness, His mercy, His faithfulness, and yet they don't accept anything of it. They don't thank Him for those things and being as He is. They know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. And here's the final progression. We talked about it a little bit in class this morning. Not only do they do the same, not only do they practice these things, but also approve of those who practice them. It's encouraged. Come do this with me, and we approve of what you're doing. Try to drag others down into it. And they're serving the creature rather than Creator. They're serving the immoral things rather than the pure and undefiled things. Those things that they should be thankful for. That's where it all began. They knew God. They knew His provision. They knew the things that He gave. They knew His love. They knew that although Gentiles, that He sent His Son to die, not just for the Jews, but the Gentiles, the grace of God has appeared to all men, and yet they were unthankful. And this led to all of these things. Brethren, if we become unthankful in our lives, the same thing was going to happen for us. Because we're going to forget God. We're going to forget all the blessings we have and where they came from. We're going to forget that we don't deserve them and that we had nothing to do with that. We didn't earn these things, and without God, nothing is possible. And we're going to fall into all unrighteousness, as those in Romans 1 did. We're going to meet our Maker in the end, and if we are not thankful to Him throughout our lives, we're going to regret it. He's going to send us to eternal destruction. He's established His expectations, and with that is a thankfulness to Him. And this should be in everything we do. It shouldn't just be the one week of the year, the one day of the year when we sit down at the table with the turkey and thank God for everything we have. It should be every single day of our lives. And if we stop doing that, it's going to tear down and diminish our lives into our inevitable destruction. We must always be thankful. And there's a lot of things that we have to be thankful for. If you are here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, there's something to be thankful for, because right now you are in sin. You have an inevitable end of your means of unrighteousness. That is the destruction that we've talked about. You have a fearful expectation of that judgment of God and that eternity of destruction and perdition of ungodly men. A complete absence of God. But right now, He's long-suffering. That's something to be thankful for, because that long-suffering of the Lord is your salvation. You have time this morning to name the name of Christ, to put Him on in baptism, to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and to live a life of thanksgiving and obedience and service to Him. He deserves it, and He expects it of you. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you have forgot things that you should be thankful for, you've fallen away in some form or fashion, you need the encouragement of the congregation here, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.